Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your role with the show.
I'm Michael Hegarty, and I play Alfred P. Doolittle in the Lincoln Center Theater production of My Fair Lady.
You are the one who's getting us to the church on time. it's got to be one of the most fun roles ever. But yes, we should say it's My Fair Lady at the National Theater in D.C., April 6th through 9th. So only 4 days. So everybody get your tickets now. Let's start with just give me the basic premise of the show. Obviously, you and I know it well. I mean, most people at this point, I feel like you'd have to be living under the rock to not know what My Fair Lady was. But just so I have a good soundbite for the radio, you know, give us the basic setup of who Eliza is and Henry Higgins and, you know, the whole deal.
Right. So Eliza is a flower girl living in London in 1913, I suppose. She is one of the lower classes in London, and she speaks with a Cockney accent. And Henry Higgins is a professor of languages and grammar and all this kind of thing, and he takes her on as a student to change the way she speaks with the idea of changing her station in life. That's basically the gist of the play.
Yes, and how fun is it playing your character? No, tell us about your role as sort of the father figure and like mm-hmm. we mentioned, some of the more fun, upbeat, like silly. He's a goofy guy, but also, you know, has a good heart.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, Alfred is Eliza's father, and he kind of is in the play. He kind of serves as a constant reminder for Eliza and for the audience of where she came from. And she's very much his daughter. She's feisty. She's fiery. There's no mother in the picture. They don't really discuss a mother. There's a stepmother, which we can get into later. The implication is that he raised her or, didn't raise her, wasn't the best father for her, and she kind of raised herself. But he works as a dustman, which is basically collecting garbage or the coal dust from the fires during that time period. And he works just enough to keep himself out of, I guess, jail, to give himself money to go to the pub. So when we first meet him, he's coming out of the pub having spent all of his money and being thrown out, and he's immediately looking for new money for more money when his daughter comes along, who has just come into some money from Professor Higgins. And that's kind of where we meet him. He's dirty, he's scruffy, but he also, he's a talker, he's a philosopher, and he lives by a very strict code. I guess you could call it a moral code or a lack of moral code. He's always railing against what he calls middle-class morality. Marriage and work and taking care of family and, you know, feeding mouths and all this stuff, you know, that you have to do when you have money. But with money comes responsibilities and headaches and all that stuff. He doesn't want any of that. So he's very happy living the way he is. But he does need money for his basic needs, like the pub. So he really goes to his daughter all the time to get money. So when his daughter he sees his daughter now going and living in this house to learn from this man, he doesn't really understand what it is. He immediately wants a part of it. He wants to get his cut, his share, as a father, he says. So, and that's kind of where he goes. And then his story takes a turn later on, which I suppose we can talk about as well. It's a very famous number.
Awesome. Well, without further ado, thanks for giving me such, you know, detailed background on, like, you know, the character arc and stuff. That's good stuff. But we do need to mention, obviously, it is one of the most iconic musicals of all time. So I want to go into some of your numbers that you get to perform. We mentioned Get Me to the Church on Time, but I guess even before that, let's back up. Even before that, you get to do the really fun With a Little Bit of Bloom and Luck. Talk about that number specifically, of how, I mean, is that like the big, that's like the big breakout moment for your character in terms of a musical number in the show?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's and it's, you know, it's the big musical number is Get Me to the Church on Time. With a Little Bit of Luck is actually sung twice. I think in the movie they combined it all into one song, but in the play it's sung in two different scenes. And that song is just exactly what I was, what we were just talking about. It's it's him saying, you know, life can be hard and life can throw things in your way, but with a little bit of luck, you can get around that stuff. With a little bit of luck, you'll never work, you know, because someone else will do it for you, you know. And that, and what's interesting is the scene right before when he gets the coin from Eliza, she says, well, I've had a bit of luck myself lately, so here, and gives him the coin. And then he takes that line and runs with it. With a little bit of luck, see, it's all luck.
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
Lucky. Money will just fall into your hand.
Kind of proved his point.
exactly.
Well, and then how about the Get Me to the Church on Time? Tell me about how that one sort of is staged in the show, and just how brilliant of a musical number it is too. Man, this Lerner and Lowe songbook is just incredible. But tell me about that number specifically. Yeah. Then maybe we can go into some of the other ones.
Yeah. So that number. So the Broadway production, which we are presenting, choreographed by Christopher Gattelli, of course, directed by Bartlett Scheer. But that scene, Get Me to the Church on Time, is when we next meet Alfie Doolittle, he's fallen into some money through his encounter with Henry Higgins. He's kind of a victim of Higgins in that he's now cursed with money. And he's not happy. He's not happy about it. And because he has money, now he has no excuse to not get married to Eliza's, quote, stepmother. He now has to make a respectable woman of her. So Get Me to the Church on Time is kind of his bachelor party. And the way this number is staged, it's definitely a party. It's definitely a lot of drinking and dancing and can-can girls and all kinds of stuff going on. But the undertone of it is this guy is going off to his death.
Right.
He says, drug me or jail me, stamp me or mail me, but get me to the church on time. he's saying, I don't know what kind of condition I'm going to be in the morning. So I'm counting on you guys to get me there, because I'm planning on drinking and partying all night, because this is the last night of my life. It's kind of the attitude of the song.
I love it.
And it's a really
it's celebratory, but at the same time, it's like I'm going out with a bang.
yeah, it's like the Irish wake or something.
right, exactly. That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, cool. And then I just wanted to get you talking about your two big numbers there in detail.
Yeah.
We don't have to do it for all the songs, but just really quick, you know, maybe just for this soundbite, just rattle off, off the top of your head, some of the other really famous ones. There's so many in this show.
Sure. Yeah, well, I mean, obviously the number that probably gets the biggest applause of the night is I Could Have Danced All Night. And our actress who plays Eliza, and she just sings her face off in that number. I mean, it's just it's unbelievable. And that
who is the actress?
That's definitely her name is Madeline Powell.
Okay,
she plays Eliza Doolittle, and she's wonderful, amazing. And that song, it's iconic. It's the song that everybody knows, and And like I said, it gets the biggest applause every night when she sings it. And when she hits that high note.
Absolutely.
Probably the other song that a lot of people are going to know that was, you know, was on the radio back in the day, in the 50s and the 60s, On the Street Where You Live, sung sung by Freddie, who is her would-be suitor, who she doesn't want to see him at the door because she's just embarrassed herself in public. And so she doesn't come to the door, and he says, "That's okay, I'll wait, because I'm happy just to be here on the street where she lives." And that's another song that that gets a big applause, that people know. And probably my favorite song in the show is "Wouldn't It Be Loverly," which is Eliza's first song in the beginning, when before she becomes a lady. When she's just a flower girl, and she's hanging out with all the other the flower sellers and the vegetable sellers and the street sweepers, and sitting around a fire burning in a barrel. And, you know, these people are, they don't have a lot in life, and they, but they're happy with each other, and and there's real love amongst them. There's a lot in this play that talks about class in British society and people's place in society. And you see these people who they know their place, and, you know, sure, they wish they had more money, and they dream of having coal in the fire and being sleeping in a warm bed and all that, but, you know, they still can have fun and dance and sing together and enjoy each other. And I just love that song.
Oh, absolutely, man. It is from top to bottom. It seriously is. It's one of the greatest songbooks of any musical. I mean, there's probably even absolutely. The ones we didn't really, I mean, did we even mention Rain in Spain and I'm Grown Accustomed to Her Face?
Yeah.
There's so many. There's absolutely. So many from start to finish. I mean, we should remind everyone the 1956 musical won 6 Tonys, including Best Musical on Broadway. And then, of course, the 1964 movie won 8 Oscars, including Best Picture. So everyone is, you know, it's got the acclaim as much as you could ever imagine. My favorite tidbit, I'm sure you know this, like it's musical theater in Hollywood lore, but I love that Julie Andrews was like the only one that they didn't want to bring over to the movie. They were like, "Oh, she's not a big enough star. Let's do Audrey Hepburn." But then Andrews beats Hepburn for the Oscar with Mary Poppins. I love that little fact.
Yes.
How about you? When did that segues me into? I wanted to know, you know, when did you discover it growing up? You know, was it the movie? Did you see a show, a tour of it on Broadway or something? Or what was it for you?
It was definitely the movie. But when I was in college, I played Henry Higgins in college.
Oh, where was this? What college?
So that was. I went to York College of Pennsylvania, not too far from here. So we hung out in D.C. and Baltimore a lot when I was in college.
I just drove up to my niece's field hockey game at York College like a couple months ago. So I know I can picture the campus, my friend.
Yes. This was many, many years ago.
Only a few.
They have a nice big theater there now.
Nice.
That was really my introduction to it. And of course, and then my introduction to this production was I was in the national tour for Fiddler on the Roof, directed by Bartlett Scheer. And through Fiddler on the Roof, I had met one of the original actors in Fiddler, who was at the time in My Fair Lady at Lincoln Center. And we were on a hiatus from Fiddler, and he tweeted something that said, "Hey, I'm going on this week as Doolittle, if anyone cares." And so I went and saw him as Doolittle, and then went backstage and said hi to him. Of course, you know, this was now 2019, but and I had no idea that I would eventually be playing the part of Doolittle. But I saw that original production at Lincoln Center, which was amazing. And, now touring in that production is just, it's kind of mind-blowing.
Oh, that's great. I want our listeners to know that you know, this isn't just like a local show of My Fair Lady. This is the Lincoln Center production with all of the visuals, the costumes, the backdrop, paint of, let's let that be where we bow out. Cause you know, I'll make this the last one. You've been generous with your time, but paint a visual picture for us in terms of like the period costumes and the streets of London, you know, like what do we see as this, absolutely, you know, traveling Bartlett Sher directed visual splendor masterpiece.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, that was the trick. It was this, how do you take this production from Broadway for this at the Vivian Beaumont Theater at Lincoln Center, which is a very, very specific stage with a 3/4 thrust, you know, audience on three sides, the stage thrusts out, you know, so how do you take that and put it on the road in playing it in theaters that don't have a thrust, that have the regular traditional proscenium theaters. So they had to adjust the scenic elements to which changed our blocking and our choreography, that we had to adjust to that and scale it down a little bit. Lincoln Center stage is so huge, and you know, the National is a much smaller stage, for example, but you know, we play all different sizes, but to be able to translate that to the road. And they do a beautiful job with the set, the lighting. Bart's very famous for working with specific set designers to come up with a very, very Bartlett Sher look, and that is both impressionistic and realistic. So Higgins House is very realistic looking. A lot of the other sets are very impressionistic, you know, where you just see kind of part of a house or part of a building. Or very two-dimensional looking building that almost looks like a painting, and I think that really is the key word, is everything kind of looks like a painting, the way the set was designed. But I think the biggest star of the show is what you said, is the costumes, which won the Tony for this production. Katherine Zuber's costumes are immaculate, and I mean, I think we have one whole truck just for costumes. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, I only wear two costumes, but most of the ensemble have like 5 to 6 costumes in all the different scenes that they wear, and the hats, the giant ascot hats, and all those things. But it's just beautiful and stunning, and telling the story of Eliza Doolittle's transformation through the costumes. And seeing her costume, she has so many costumes changing throughout the show, and her wigs on top of that as well. I think all of the women in the show are wigged, so there's a lot of wigs.
Oh yeah, if the musical theater and the story isn't enough to get you out there, if you're into fashion or wardrobe or costuming, absolutely, I mean, it is a feast for the eyes, My Fair really Lady. Is. All right, cool. Well, thank you so much. I have more than enough to work with. Before we go, pretend I'm not even here, and you know, like you're speaking directly to our listeners. You know, hey DC, come on out. You know, you'll have a good time.
Sure. Hey DC, we're here at the National Theater this week for My Fair Lady. It's a great show. We hope to see you there.
Sounds good. Hey, thanks for doing this.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
All right, you did great. You crushed it. We'll talk to you later.
All right,
see ya.
All right, thanks. Bye bye.